Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Philippians chapter 3. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. This is the text. As we continue our four-week journey reading through Paul's letter to the Philippians, we get to see what this epistle of joy, as it is known, is really all about. Paul very much wanted his readers to be filled with encouragement, real joy. Not the happy euphoria that we often equate with joy. I was thinking about this when I was Friday night watching the Cardinal game. I mean, that's not the kind of joy that that he's talking about. He's not even talking about the, you know, the Pollyanna happiness that, you know, where the person just says, oh, whatever hardships may come my way, I'm just going to be positive and happy and optimistic every single day about everything. That wasn't Paul's reality. That's no one's reality. That's not what he's talking about. But rather, Paul is speaking of being filled with relief, contentment in Christ. The lifting of burdens that we have no strength to lift on our own. As we look back on our lives, those are our most joyous moments when a burden was taken off of our shoulders. Today is a day to celebrate true joy. Joy in Christ. And as I said last week, we're going to again talk about participation, fellowship, that Greek word, koinonia. And since we're doing that, it is appropriate that we are taking time today to celebrate the work of the Lutheran Women's Missionary League. Because there is true joy, there is fellowship, and there is participation in the ongoing actions of these faithful women. So often when a person becomes involved with a group or a fellowship, whatever it is, not in the church or even outside of the church, whenever you're going to share with someone in something, the question that is most always in the back of our minds is, well, what do I get out of it? When first entering into the situation, this tends to be an unanswerable question that our sinful mind really wants answered. But ask a young couple what it will be like when they are a father or a mother. They can't tell you. They don't know. They may think they know, but they don't know. Ask a person who is ridden with guilt what it's going to feel like when they are completely forgiven. They don't know. They can't tell you because they have not experienced it yet. And they don't expect to experience it. Until you have koinonia, participation, fellowship in something, you will never know what it means to participate. This is true in most walks of life. It is certainly true in the work of the LWML. A couple weeks ago in our gospel reading, we heard of the parable of the workers in the vineyard. And the vineyard, as we saw in our readings this morning, it is synonymous with the people of God or the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, but the people of God in the New Testament. If you are a worker in the vineyard, that is within the church, whether you have been called late or called early, It's not about you or what extra you will get out of it. We all get the same pay at the end of the day. Your calling is to work. But there is great joy, earthly happiness, in the extra that we do get. There is extra, earthly joy, in participating in the vineyard, in the life of the church. But it's not what you think. It's the joy of serving. The joy of sacrificing your time for the benefit of someone who can't pay you back. The joy of sacrificial giving. That's the extra. And if you don't know what that feels like, I can't explain it to you. It is something in which you simply need to participate. Paul speaks to the Philippians about participating, having koinonia. As we saw last week, this is the Holy Communion word from 1 Corinthians. Paul goes to great lengths to point out that his righteousness is a righteousness that is not his own. My works I count as rubbish, Paul says. The English doesn't do this verse justice because Paul is making a manure reference in a PG-13 kind of way. You don't say scubala in mixed company. I count everything as rubbish. That's what even our best works look like in the mirror of the law of God. What could you possibly hold before God and say, look, I've made things better? It's rubbish. Our life in Christ is not about participating in good, righteous deeds or holding up our catalog of accomplishments. Paul talks about his utter failure when he was living as a Hebrew of Hebrews. When we place any of our salvation on how good we are in regard to our works, how much strength we have, we end up in guilt and despair. I know how much of a sinner I am. If I try and lie to myself and convince myself that my works are better than your works, or God is more pleased with the work of my hands than those other people, well, like any lie, I know that I can only tell it for so long, because all lies catch up to you in the end. Or as is more often the case, if I convince myself that my sins are no big deal because, well, God is loving and gracious. After all, how could a loving God be angry at my sin? What I do is not that big of a deal, especially compared to what those other people do. That is a lie that catches up to you eventually. The point is, God is a loving God. But he also is a God who is angry at sin. Sin has separated his children. Sin has separated the children of Adam, has separated you from him. You and I were born without koinonia, without fellowship or participation with him. We didn't even have knowledge of him. He had to fix this and give us his righteousness so that we may know him and know the power of the resurrection. Because that's what it's all about. The resurrection of the body and life everlasting. If you want to understand the love of God, look no further than what he did, the lengths that he went to bring about the reality of the resurrection of the dead. He sent his own son to become sin for us, so that God's righteous anger at your sin would be directed at Jesus. You and I deserve death and hell. Jesus endured his passion on the cross so that we can participate in his passion and his resurrection. Paul says our faith in Christ, our righteousness from God, is all for one purpose, that I may know him and the power of the resurrection. Because what else is there? That is our source of joy, happiness, encouragement, contentment. But the next phrase there in Paul's letter, it gets lost in the English. He says, and may share his sufferings. Now, share is that koinonia word, that participate in, have fellowship in, have holy communion with. His sufferings, the word actually, more clearly, his passion. What he endured there on the cross. That's what it says. We have holy communion with his sufferings, with his passion. Participating in the body and blood of Christ given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This is what it's all about. It's just like what Paul says in Romans 6. We were crucified with Christ and buried with him in our baptism. Participation in the sufferings and death of Christ. So that we can rise up to a new life. And we have been raised up to a new life. And the sting of death has been taken away from us forever. All of the joy and the relief here in Paul's letter to the Philippians, it has as its focus the promise of what has been won for you by the Son of God on the cross. Jesus is relief for your sins and everything that weighs you down. He has lifted the burdens off of you that you had no strength to lift on your own. And it is there that we find our true joy. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.